We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider from Learfield IMG College. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Cowboys, Dave Hunziker.
This is the Cowboy Network Insider, Dave Hunziker, John Holcomb, and we're ready for the season opener in Corvallis, Oregon, against Oregon State. We are in Oregon now. I do want to share this just to set the record straight. I have kept chicken scratches, and I have been asked 862 times who the starting quarterback was going to be. A lot of counting of chicken scratches to account for that. So I'm more than pleased to answer the question, although I had no answer, and I still have no answer. But 862, give or take a time or two.
Look, I may have changed my mind like 3 or 4 times. You know, the only thing, because we don't know, right? Even though we're happy to answer it, we answer it with, we don't know.
Do you remember from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Jess Bacoli comes in and Mr. Hand says, I don't know. That's a very good answer. I believe I'll put it on the board for all my classes to see, giving you full credit, of course. I keep thinking of that during this quarterback thing. I have no idea why I think about Mr. Hand and Jess Bacoli, but I keep thinking about that during this quarterback deal. So anyway, that's sidebar.
Yeah, but you know, in the end, Mr. Hand and Jess Bacoli reached a common ground, right? So at the end, you had to hang with the movie until the end, but they reached a common ground. So listen, I think we could be safe in saying both quarterbacks will probably play, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I've leaned toward, Dave, I'll just tell you my thought process, and I've told everybody who's asked me, this is my gut feeling. It's simply because if you're that tight, then do you go in the first game with the first snap, doesn't mean the whole game, but the first snap, with the guy who's played in games in the Division I level? And that's kind of where I've gone, but I'm not sure that I'm right.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what's funny is I asked Coach Gundy on the radio show, and by the way, you can hear all of that on the back end of this podcast. Every time you listen to this, if you listen through the entirety of the show, you'll get Coach Gundy's radio show edited down, but all his comments are in there as part of this particular podcast, so you can hear it if you wish. I asked him this question. I said, okay, could we read too much into who goes out there first at the quarterback position? Basically translated, what that means is the guy that goes out there first, has he separated himself from the other guy, or is he just the guy that happens to go out there first and they'll be splitting up snaps? He said, no, I don't want my guy looking over his shoulder. So who goes out there first has separated himself, which is an interesting answer because it's not like that's been talked about or asked, but I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, that causes me to think maybe my gut feeling is wrong. But again, I'm going on my gut feeling and reacting to what is said. So now I think I'm more confused than anything else, because if you hear that, you might think, okay, are we looking long term, or are we just looking this season, or are we just looking this game? He's been very consistent with us and the majority of the media of saying we're looking to win this first game, and it's kind of because you have to, yeah. Right? You have to. But for the sake of the quarterback situation, really, in most cases, not every case, but in most cases, you want to settle on a guy so that there is not that potential, although I think they've done a good job of, you know, keeping it from being a distraction, but there's not that potential for it to become a distraction.
Well, and he's even said at some point you've got to settle in on a guy because you can't split reps 50-50 very effectively during the course of the season, especially as you try to integrate new things into your offense, do things that are very game plan specific. It's pretty hard over the course of an entire season to say, hey, we're going to go 50-50 in repetitions in practice. You just don't have enough repetitions to pull that off. And there's just so much that's unknown. I mean, like, for example, I'm talking about the entire team now. You know, there have been positive signs from the offensive line for sure with Charlie Dickey, and we feel like he's making a huge impact. But how good are they? A lot of experience there. You know, they're starting four recruited Oklahoma State high school signees for the first time since 2012. All five guys were high school signees that Coach Gundy and his staff signed. And they've looked good in the preseason. But is that because the defensive line's inexperienced or because the offensive line has really improved? Then you can flip it. Sometimes the defensive lines look good. Is that because the defensive line is really that good or the offensive line isn't very good? I mean, it's just like flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop all the time. There's just so many things we don't know. It's going to take some games to find out. I've not had a season since I've been doing the games like this where you really just had no idea going into the season where you stood. And I have a feeling you feel the same way. It's very unique for Oklahoma State in its recent history.
Yeah, you know, Mike brought up something during the game week news conference, which was last Friday, about they hadn't been in the quarterback situation like this since, was it 2013 when you opened against Mississippi State down in Houston, and you had Clint Shelf starting, J.W. Walsh playing, and they had plans, right? But beyond that, you did have some other, you know, positions settled. You ended up having a great year for the most part. And back to your offensive line comment, look, I haven't done enough research to go back and see if Charlie Dickey's work at Kansas State, which is universally praised with the way he was able to get more out of some guys than maybe a lot of people thought they had in them. But how long into seasons did that take? I don't know. But I do know this, that guys like Johnny Wilson and Marcus Keys, they'd run through a wall for that guy, and they'd run through a wall for him since he got on campus in spring.
That's true. It's an interesting point you make, though, about Kansas State. And I'm not saying this is tied to Charlie Dickey by any means. They were slow starters, John. I mean, you think early in the year how many times we'd look at scores and they'd be playing Missouri State and it would be like 17-10 in the third quarter. They even lost some games. I think before Central Florida got really good, I think they lost to Central Florida one year in Manhattan. They'd have a lot of close games and then they got better as the year went along. We have no idea to any extent how much the offensive line played a role in that. We'd be way out of line to even start down that path. So there's just so much uncertain. And here's the deal, too. And the reason it's so uncertain, depending on who starts at quarterback, there could be as few as four senior starters Friday night in Corvallis. Four. And as few as eight seniors in the two deep. If only four seniors start, it'll be the fewest number of senior starters that Mike Gundy has ever put on the field for a season opener. So, yeah, you're going to have some uncertainty. And you go back and think about, you know, there's three guys prominent just right off the top of your head that, you know, could be here, probably still should be here. Darian Daniels, who's transferred to Nebraska, Jalen McCleskey, who left for Tulane, Tyron Johnson, who has done well so far for the Texans. Part of that's the nature of college football these days, but you know, now you're caught with a roster that's pretty young, doesn't have a lot of seniors. In fact, Oklahoma State, John, I think, I haven't seen the final numbers on this. They were doing research about percentage of freshmen and redshirt freshmen on rosters in major college football, and I know the early indications were Oklahoma State would be in the top five, if not the top three in that category.
Yeah, you know, then you start looking at, okay, well, what sort of leadership do you have at specific positions? You've got Wilson and Keys on the offensive line, but you've got to have a unit working together. But at least you have those guys who've been through a lot of wars, who get it, and who are energized by Charlie Dickey's arrival. You know, you have Chuba Hubbard coming back, and you have what appears to be a very deep stable of talented running backs. You have Tylan Wallace at receiver, who is a team leader in that, not just at his position, but for the whole team. You know, defensively, you have veteran cornerbacks back there. You have a couple of really good young safeties who were pressed into action as true freshmen. You know, there are question marks in other areas, but you've at least got enough leadership, you would think, at places to help you get through it. But I'll say this. If you just look at the point spread for Friday night against Oregon State, you miss the whole picture. It gives you a little bit of what so-called experts think. But what it doesn't necessarily factor in is this. This is a long way to come to play a game. And it's against a team that is determined to make up for things they thought they should have handled better last year in a very disappointing year. And it's a team that's been energized by some arrivals of junior college players. And it's a team that's got a six-year senior who may be a little bit more mobile. I know this. He's 6'7", and he's played a lot of college football, even though he's been injured. The one thing you can't afford is this is when Oregon State should probably be at their fastest, healthiest, and most physical. It's the first game of the year. The one thing you can't afford is for them to develop some early rhythm and to feel good about themselves.
Well, I'll just say this. Don't fool yourself. If Oklahoma State plays poorly, they lose. I mean, I think we need to get that straight right now. The Cowboys can't come in here and turn the ball over three or four times and win. It's not going to happen. Oregon State's upgraded its talent at linebacker thanks to Roberts, a transfer from Nebraska, Gumbus, a transfer from Oklahoma, and people say, well, Gumbus never broke in to the, you know, too deep at Oklahoma, but both he and Roberts were top 100 recruits out of high school. They've added two transfers in the offensive line to try to upgrade that unit, that while Jamar Jefferson, their tailback, rushed for almost 1,400 yards, they were as bad as any team in the country protecting the passer, gave up a ton of sacks and struggled in that area. You know, one of the things you mentioned this, I think Johnny Wilson on offense to a large extent and Malcolm Rodriguez on defense seem to be taking on the characteristics of being very good leaders. And one thing that makes you feel good, not just Friday night, but really even more once Big 12 play starts, A.J. Green and Rodarius Williams, that tandem, it's the first time since Mike Gundy's been head coach, and it may be the first time in this millennium, that Oklahoma State has put two corners out there on opening night that are third-year starters. For the longest time, it was graduate transfers, one after the other, renting corners, as I like to call it, not owning them, renting them. Well, now you develop two guys, and you've got a young freshman, Thomas Harper, they really like that'll play a bunch.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see how much time Jake Luton, the quarterback for Oregon State, has to be able to get guys free, because he's got some talented receivers led by one guy who's 6'4", Hodgins. Who is really good. But one thing that the Cowboys did really well last year, and you would assume they would be able to do it again this year, is get after quarterbacks. And if they get pressure early on Luton, then he's going to have a career full of nightmares to have to deal with. Because when he got pressured, he went down, and more often than not, he got hurt and he couldn't play.
Yeah, because their offensive line protected so poorly. So a lot of things. There's just so many things that are uncertain going into this game. You know, just a sidebar here, one thing that is certain, we've not been up here before. Oklahoma State has not played Oregon State before. We've seen Oregon, but it seems like when we've seen them, it's been either in the NCAA men's basketball tournament, played them in the Holiday Bowl in 2008 in San Diego. But boy, what beautiful country this is. This is
this is a gorgeous place. Hopefully we'll leave with a good feeling.
Yeah, no doubt. And Dave, we were able to take a little drive through part of the scenic trail and the Cascades and things like that. My word. I've never seen the redwoods in California, but I don't know how they get much taller, probably thicker around. But some of the trees that we saw in here and the streams, and it's just, there is a peaceful, serene feeling about being around here. I know if you know, like our good friend George Schroeder, who writes for USA Today, yeah. He lived up here for a while in Springfield, Oregon, and he would post the Springfield like police ledger. It was almost like you were in Florida. You know, everybody likes to poke fun at Florida and some of the crazy things that happened there. And there were some things going on in Springfield. So there is a little bit of that. But overall, my gosh, what a beautiful place.
Oh, absolutely gorgeous. We have to figure out how we can get our wives up here because I think they'd love it. Anybody, I think, that enjoys the outdoors would love it up here. You know, who knows, John? You know, here's a good part of this as we wrap this thing up and start moving toward Friday. If by chance you can get through this year, let's say you win 8 games or more, you will have, because you only start 4 seniors, at least we think that's what will be the case Friday night, and may have as few as 8 seniors in the 2 deep, you will bring a ton of guys back. And if that's the case, so if that happens, if you win 8 games or more, 9 games, it becomes to some extent like 2015. We're way ahead of ourselves here. And there's so many things that we don't know. Quarterback play at the top of the list. If that's not of reasonable quality, then who knows how this thing will turn out. But, you know, you look at it and say, boy, we could get through this year and win 8 or 9 games. It could set up just like 15, set up for 16 and 17.
No question about it. And, Dave, I even flash back to, although we knew in 10 that Brandon Whedon and Justin Blackmon were elite-level performers, and then, you know, they made the decision to come back and then 11 happened, you know, so that may be a little bit more extreme than we're looking at here, but you hit on it. For me, if you get really good quarterback play, you're looking at 8 or 9, and then who knows, maybe more. If you don't, if it's kind of a struggle, if it's up and down, then it could look a lot more like last year. Although I don't think, there's no way to know, but I don't think you're going to see the drastic differences that you saw last year where you played your best against the best teams on your schedule and you just laid a few eggs along the way against teams that you thought you should beat. I don't think necessarily you're going to see that because of the emphasis that Mike Gundy has put on win with discipline, you know, stay locked in. I think he's been re-energized by this. I think he's taken ownership of that, and that should spill down through the team. And for the most part, from what we can tell, it appears these guys have great team chemistry, and that's such an underrated quality with a squad.
And honestly, we misread that last year. I honestly thought that team seemed to be going down the path of having really good chemistry, and I think you just have to question whether that was true because of what we saw. What happened at Kansas State when it seemed so lackluster? What happened at TCU when it seemed so lackluster? Teams that have really good chemistry and really strong leaders don't usually do that, and that's what we saw last year. Don't want to be overly critical of last year's team. It's just that when you see performances like that, you kind of are left scratching your head in terms of the leadership piece. But it's this is such an intriguing year because, again, if you can get through it, and, you know, it's a pretty simple deal. -9 in turnovers last year, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 yards on the negative side of penalty yards per game. You go back and look at those games last year, even games like Iowa State and Texas Tech, you take a couple of key turnovers off the board and especially some key penalties off the board, the whole dynamic of those games changes dramatically to the point where you probably win them. So if you can just make noticeable headway in those areas, it can make a huge difference because if that team is cleaner last year, they win 9 games.
The one thing about it all that, though, you live through all of that. What happened at the end? You beat a good Missouri team, and you lit them up. You got after them, and you grabbed momentum for yourself to move into the spring, and now you're here. And some of the guys, Colby Harvell-Peel now making the play on fourth down, now more comfortable understanding, hey, I think I understand what I really need to do on a consistent basis, and I'm ready to go do it because he had success on a high level.
Yeah, off we go. A lot of young guys got big experience last year. On the air Friday from Corvallis, Oregon, here in this beautiful part of the country. Pregame coverage starts at 7:30. but we won't be doing it. It'll be Adam Hildebrandt, Deanna Mahdi, and Clint Chell for the first hour from the Stone Wolf Casino in Pawnee. That's going to be a blast. And then we'll come in, the old geezers, we'll come in about 8:30 or so and get you ready for kickoff at 9:35. So big changes in the pregame show. Hope you enjoy them. And in the meantime, for John Holcomb, I'm Dave Hunziker. We'll talk to you Friday night.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.